Amen. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 29 tells us simply, amen, for our Lord is a consuming fire. Job chapter 23 in verse 10 says, that He knoweth the way that I take. When He hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Amen. I appreciate it. Glory to God. You know that fire is a very special thing. Without fire, there's not much that we could do. In fact, in this modern day that we live in, we still rely on fire for a lot of things. Amen. It's what gives us warmth. Amen. It is what purifies. It does a lot of things. But in the Christian life, amen, it of course is illumination to us. Amen. In a dark age that we're living, amen, it is a fire, amen, a spiritual fire of the Holy Ghost, amen, that shines forth and helps us to contrast in a sinful world. We know also, amen, that there is a fire that is a purifying, sanctifying fire. Amen. I wish that I could tell you this morning that, amen, that I don't subscribe to the charismatic message either, Brother Johnston. Amen, that everything's got to be good and everything's got to be positive and everything's got to be top of the mountain experience. And if you don't, then somehow you lost out with God. I've not found that to be true. Amen. In fact, since I've gotten saved, I've found out that I've had more problems than I did before I got saved. Amen. I tell you, that doesn't preach very good. Amen. When you go up to somebody's door and you knock on it, amen, and they're lost and they got problems and their marriage is busted up and they've lost their jobs, hey, I'd like to share Jesus with you. Let Jesus come into your heart and things are going to get worse. Amen. It's not doesn't work very good evangelistic, does it? Amen. But the rest of the story is, yes, we will have many problems. Amen. We will have many situations. You know why? Because the Lord never promised us we would have no problems. In fact, quite the opposite is true. He said we would have problems. But the difference is, from the moment I came down to an old-fashioned altar, amen, and shed those tears, and the Lord changed me within and without, amen, I've got somebody with me, amen. My problems aren't my own anymore. Amen. So we learn something in our Christian experience that serving God is a series of mountaintop experiences, amen, where we have the victory, but there are all those times when it seems like we go through the very valley of the shadow of death, amen. Difficult times, amen, hard times. But can I tell you this morning that He is with us, amen. The Lord first sent the fire to the church, amen, in Jerusalem. When He said, tarry ye in the upper room until you be endued with power from on high. The Word of God says the 120 were gathered there, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and appeared on each of them, amen, giving them, amen, a kind of power, amen, that had not been seen except in special occasions, amen, prior to that. But the fire was working, amen, in the church at that time. The fire we know brings power, it brings anointing, it brings a lot of things, amen. It enables us to do the things that we're not able to do normally. I preached a message, amen, just a few days ago, amen, about Pentecost and why Pentecost is important. It's important because of the promise that it brings, amen. When we have Pentecost, amen, it opens up a whole new realm to us, amen. We see things different, amen. But beyond that, amen, there is the purity that comes with Pentecost, the sanctified lifestyle, amen. We do the things of God not because we want to fit in, but we do the things of God because we want to be pleasing to Him, amen. And He that indwells us, amen, with His Holy Ghost, amen, has given us a total different outlook on life. Amen. Spoke about the power of Pentecost. Amen. And you hear the charismatics talk a lot about the power. We have the power. We have the power. Amen. You hear it in confession, but you don't see it in demonstration. Amen. Which is a difference, amen, in true Pentecost and charismatic, among many, many, many other things. Amen. But the greatest reason, the greatest purpose, amen, that God sent us Pentecost was He sent us, amen, the purpose in Pentecost is that we might be able to do what we ourselves cannot normally do. To be able to say what we cannot in ourselves say. To be able to know what we in ourselves cannot possibly know. To be able to express what we ourselves could never express. Amen. To be able to take, amen, a heavenly concept, amen, and translate translated through the power of the Holy Ghost in something that a sinner can grab a hold of and change his life. Amen. Here's what Pentecost does. So when God sent His fire, amen, it was an enabling force. It's not just a badge or a lapel pin. Amen. What are you? I'm Pentecost. I'm glad to be Pentecost. I'm proud to be Pentecost. But I realize that the reason why the Lord sent the fire is so I might have the power to do His work upon this earth. That simply means if I can take just a small rabbit trail, amen, that simply means that if we are filled with the Holy Ghost and are not winning the lost in whatever capacity, in whatever form, amen, we are not realizing, amen, the full potential that God has given us by sending His Holy Spirit to live within us. Amen. Glory to God. But there is a fire, and we know in the Word of God that the fire, many times what it signifies is a difficulty, amen. We sing the song, amen, about through the fire, amen. And the Kraft family had that wonderful song that is ministered to many of us, amen, about through the fire. He never promised, amen, that the cross wouldn't be heavy or the hill wouldn't be hard to climb. Amen. Yes, all of that. But there are those times when we go through the fire. The Word of God speaks to us, amen, in the Old Testament about the three Hebrew children, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and when they were given the opportunity to bow down to the idol, amen, and to worship it as all other people did around them. And we're all familiar with the story that they said, we will not, amen. We will not bow, amen, to a false idol and to a false god. You know, the current idea that we have in many churches nowadays, sad to say in Pentecostal churches, is that, amen, that serving God is a revolving door. I know people that they get saved, amen, it seems like every revival. Well, how'd the revival go? We had 20 people saved. Really? You had 20 people saved last revival. Yeah, they were the same 20. Amen. There are some people that really, in order to know, you ask them, you say, how you doing, brother? And they act all funny. Why? They're not a brother that week. Amen. Some people need a red light, yellow light, green light, so you can tell if they're saved or not. Green light, woo! Full of the Holy Ghost, full of the victory. Yellow light, kind of getting cold. Red light, completely out. Amen. There are some people that are like that. Amen. There are some people that are in and out. It's just a continual process. Amen. They cannot tell you, amen, that God, serving God, as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did. Amen. It is a lifetime decision. Amen. It is to serve God the rest of our life. I don't wake up each morning and decide that I'm going to still love my wife and be married to her. Amen. I'll tell you what. I had to wait till I was 27 to get married too. Amen. Because I told the Lord I wasn't going to do it until He sent me the one that I knew was the one that He had prepared for me. I used to tell my wife when we were dating, amen, I'd say, honey, sweetheart, amen, I'd say, God made you for me. When you were in your mama's womb, God had me in mind. Amen. But bless her heart, amen, I spoke sweet enough to her and she was silly enough to say yes when I asked her to marry me. Amen. But you know what? There's times I get up and my hair's all messed up and I've been laying on my pillow funny. Amen. And face all puffy. And you know what? She still loves me. Because I'm as handsome as I used to be. No. Amen. Because she decided, amen, when she come down to an altar before a preacher, she said, till death do we part. In the good, in the bad, in the positive, in the negative, in the trials and in the victory, I will be faithful to you. Amen. How much more when we accept Christ, should there be a covenant made between us and Christ that no matter what happens, though God slay me, amen, no matter what happens, I'm going to be faithful to God. Amen. You know, I made a dedication and a decision that lady right there, amen, as long as his heart is pumping and his legs, amen, have power to carry this body and these lungs have the capacity to breathe, amen, that I'm going to still be married to that lady. Amen. And before you this morning, I say that as long, amen, as there is life in this body, I will continue to serve the Lord. That is the kind of dedication that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said. Amen. They said, vow or you will burn. Amen. And they said, well, burn we may, but we will not bow. The Bible says that it's so infuriated the king that he ordered the oven to be heated 7 times hotter than was normal. In fact, when they bound the 3 Hebrew children and cast them in, the Bible says that the mighty men that cast them in perished from the heat. Amen. I've had a lot of hard times in my life, as you have too. 4 years ago, our life was going just hunky-dory. Our daughter was having some problems, having some fevers, some situations we didn't really understand what was going on. We knew something was wrong. The doctors down there had tried her for one thing or another and actually had given her some different pills that seemed for a while to be helping. But you can imagine how it seemed like our world came apart when 4 years ago, in year 2000, amen, after running some exams, a doctor came to us. And he said, I want to tell you folks that your daughter has leukemia. Our 4-year-old daughter had leukemia. Here we are on the mission field doing what we've always wanted to be doing. At that time, we've been there for 10 years, celebrated our 10-year anniversary. We felt like we were doing what God wanted us to do. God was blessing the work. And all of a sudden, we find out that our daughter has a life-threatening disease that without treatment, without the hand of God, meant for her a certain death. Amen. I spoke to a doctor friend of mine and he said, we can treat her here. There's medication that you can get here. And I said, listen, doctor, lay all the doctor stuff aside. Talk to me like a friend. If this was your daughter, what would you do? He said, Brother Allen, if this was my daughter, I would pack her up as quick as I could. And I'd get her to the States right now. You talk about a world falling apart. Amen. All of a sudden, a ministry that was built up. Amen. Where 3 of us, Brother Jake Sumner, Brother Scott Sumner, and myself, sometimes working together, sometimes working in different areas. Amen. But very much a table built on 3 legs. Amen. Very much something that depended on all of us to keep things working in harmony. Amen. The plans that God had for the future that we felt in our hearts. Amen. The vision that God had given us. Amen. To continue to reach the lost. You see, our purpose in Honduras has not been merely to make an impact, but our purpose in Honduras has been to win the whole country for Christ. That's our vision. But we got to be down there to do it. And our world came apart. Rhoda and myself, amen, we found ourselves, we had to get on an airplane and come ahead. Paula and the rest of the girls had to pack and get ready. We had no idea. Is this going to be just a thing? Is this going to be for a few months? Just a few weeks. What is it going to be? I didn't even know what leukemia was. I knew it was some kind of a cancer, but what it was, how you treat it, the different kinds. I knew nothing, absolutely nothing about it. I found myself in Tulsa, Oklahoma. No place to stay. Went and got a hotel room. No place to go. Had absolutely no idea what we were going to be doing. Went to the doctor and they said that yes, it is true that she does have leukemia. And what you're looking at is being here for a minimum of 1.5 to 2 years. Amen. One moment I was happy in Honduras doing what God had called me to do. And just a few days later, 2 or 3 days after that, I found myself sitting in a hotel room in Tulsa, Oklahoma, feeling like I didn't know what I felt like. I didn't know. I can't put it into words. But feeling like my world had just exploded. Amen. Wonderful people came by the hospital. She had to be admitted into the hospital. They had to start treatment. They had to put a port, a cath into her. Amen. To be able to access her for giving her blood work and for giving her the chemotherapy. And it was just overwhelming what was happening. People would come by, wonderful people that were encouraging, and they would bless us and pray, amen, and encouraging words. But in every group that comes to visit, there's always those that come. Amen. Maybe they're trying to be a blessing, but they're not. Amen. I had one dear brother, amen, that obviously, amen, had more good wills than good sense. Amen. And he came to me and he said, "Brother, well, you know how it is. The Lord sometimes uses these things to show to us a change in direction. And we need to be sensitive and realize that probably the Lord has a different direction for you right now." I sat there with the smile on my face and restrained myself. I didn't hit him. You'd be proud of me. I didn't say anything mean. You'd been proud of me. And I said, "Thank you." Amen. And as he was there, I sat there thinking, am I so dead of spirit that the Lord has to strike my child with leukemia? Me, amen, that built the God called to Honduras. Me, amen, that God has used in spite of my failures, in spite of my weaknesses, and in spite, amen, of my problems and things, amen, that has used me to win the lost. God has to speak to me through an illness in my daughter. I quickly realized that no, God does not have to speak to me. They're striking my child down. Amen. You talk about a difficult time. We had a difficult time. She started in the chemotherapy. And you know how it is in hospitals. They always tell you, worst case scenario. She went through a year and a half of treatment. They told us all kinds of stuff. That all of her hair is going to fall out. It's going to stunt her growth. It could do this and it could do that. And you know what? Amen. Most of it didn't happen to her. Most of it didn't. There were kids that were so sick and so thin, and there's my little girl, amen, that she very obviously is in good health, amen. Kids that were in there that were just bald as eggs, and there was my little girl, still had a bow in her hair, amen. Still didn't look like she was sick, amen. God was with us through all of this, amen. We had ups, we had downs, but God was with us, amen. There come the point, there was almost a year and a half where they told us, they said, "Well, you get to go back to Honduras. What we're going to do is you'll just have to come back every 2 months and have checkups, and we'll give her some different treatments when she comes in, but you get to go back." We thought, it's over. The Lord's moved for us, and everything's great. We get to go back to Honduras. We went back for a full year. And after a year, we felt like we were really a part of things again. We felt like we had really integrated. And once again, we were back where we had left off. Sister Paula went back to the States with her one time. Amen. And she was crying when she called down. She said, "Alan, they think she's had a relapse. What do we do?" And how many of you believe that God's work is very important? But I believe with all of my heart that my relationship to God is number one. And my relationship or responsibility for my family is number two. Amen. And God's work is very close to the first two. Very close to it. Amen. But I told her, I said, "Honey, we're just going to have to go back." We went back in a roller coaster ride. They thought she was. They thought she wasn't. They thought she was. They thought she wasn't. Till one day they came and they said, "She is. She actually has relapsed." And they said, "What we're going to have to do is we're going to have to increase the chemotherapy. We're going to have to try different drugs. Including we're also going to have to try radiation with her." Let me tell you something that will scare you to death, amen, is when they go talking about radiation and all the things that can happen. Amen. They were talking about radiation. They said, "This is what it can do. Cause her hair to fall out." And it did cause her hair to fall out. It can stunt her growth. It can do a whole lot of things. It can mess her up. It can actually take her mind. And if you've been around Rhoda very much, you know that she got her brains from her mom and not from her daddy. She's a very bright little girl, amen. And that's not just daddy talking, amen. She's a very bright little girl. She's very smart, witted, amen. And we thought, well, is it going to take our bright little girl and turn her into somebody that's like her daddy? Amen. Going to turn him into a numbskull like her daddy? Amen. This stuff scared us. She went through over over 3 weeks of radiation treatments, and it's a terrible thing, amen, to see your little girl under a humongous machine, and you have to go out of the room because of the radiation and the strength of it. And the entire power of that machine is directed at the head and the spine of my child. I tell you, very, very scary thing. Amen. All of those things. Amen. Can I tell you, amen, that after she finished that, amen, she had more chemotherapy and more things, more ups and downs. Amen. But can I tell you that the Lord has been faithful to us throughout this whole thing? They said that she would very possibly would have problems with her intellect. Just a few weeks ago, we were in our homeschool group, and they were giving out awards. And for the 11 and under class, Rhoda Lane Sumner won with the highest grade point average. Amen. Because she makes 100% on every one of her tests. Glory to God. What am I telling you, amen, that there are difficulties in this life? Has it changed our outlook towards Honduras and made us think that, well, we need to be setting roots down here? No! I was worried about coming and my girl setting roots. Hey, listen, we like to go to Walmart just like you do. Amen. I may not like to go as much as Brother B.P. Carroll and his wife do, but, amen, some other people, but Brother B.P. Carroll, I don't know if you ever heard him say, but he said when he died, he wanted to be cremated and have his ashes scattered in Walmart so his wife would come and visit him. We're not quite that much into Walmart, amen. But you know what? I like to go into Walmart every once in a while. My girls do too, amen. They enjoy fellowship. They enjoy youth camp. They enjoy all the things that's got up here, amen. But a while back, I asked the girls, I said, girls, out of all the fun things that we've been doing, amen, I said, where would you like to be the most? Amen. And I didn't coach them. I didn't even give them that option. They all three would see in perfect unity and on key. They said, Honduras is where we want to be. Amen. Amen. Hard times. I wish I could tell you that we're completely done with everything. We're not. I wish I could tell you that there would be no ripples, no problems. I cannot tell you that because I don't know what tomorrow holds. But one thing I know is that there is a God sitting on His throne that is still in control. Three Hebrew children cast into the fiery furnace. The strong men that threw them in there died from it. And I can imagine as they were thrown into the fiery furnace, amen, as they fell into the flames. And half expecting to feel the searing heat and to watch the flesh as it boiled from their bones. Amen, and to feel terrible pain before they lost consciousness. That I can imagine the surprise, amen, as they begin to rise themselves up, amen, and to look around, sure there was flames, but they didn't feel them, amen. But can you imagine their surprise as they begin to walk around in the flames? There's Shadrach, there's Meshach, I'm Abednego. But there's somebody here that's with us in the flames. Amen. Glory to God. You know why we've been able to go through 4 years. You know why the Lord has enabled us to keep the victory through all of this. It's because He has never promised that there would not be problems. That He has always promised that He would be with us to the end. Amen. And because He is with us, we are able to go through all that we've been able to go through. You know, I've learned a lot of things in these difficult times, a lot of things. You know, when we go through difficult situations, brothers and sisters, it is not God mistreating us. If we only had victory, mountaintop experiences, we would never learn how to trust in God. It's through the sickness that we experience God's healing. It's through time of discouragement that we feel that Holy Ghost encouraging that lifts us up. Amen. It's through times of loneliness that we feel that His presence is near. Amen. In fact, something that I have found, amen, is in my times of fiery furnace experience. Amen. If I will just stop and quit feeling sorry for myself, if I will quit looking at the flames and the situations, I have learned one thing, and that is that God is closer at that time than any other time. Amen. The devil loves to make us have a pity party. Amen. Oh, I stood for you. Look where I am. In the midst of this fiery furnace. I stood. And look what I'm doing. I'm the main invited party at a barbecue. Here I am. Amen. If He can make us feel sorry for ourselves and look at the situations, amen, then He's got us exactly where He wants us to be. But can I tell you this morning, amen, that there is something that I have found in the midst of the fire that I didn't know was there. You know, we hear of people that talk about they're sick, and oh, when God heals me, and that's great. That's great. We've got to look forward to God's healing work in our life. But we look at it, amen, like it's something way up there and everything's on hold till we get, amen, to that healing. And, oh, God's going to save my children. And like everything's on hold till that happens, amen. But can I tell you, amen, I don't know exactly when God is going to allow us to leave that fiery furnace. I don't know. He has not told me, amen. There may be more trials and problems that come. I do not know. The one thing that I know and am assured of in my heart, no matter what happens tomorrow, He is with me. Yes. Glory to God. And I learned a lesson as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego learned. There is victory in the middle of the fiery furnace. Oh, the problems in your family, the situations in your life, you think that the end of it is the only victory. Can I tell you, you can have cancer in your body and shout and be full of the victory. You can have lost loved ones that look like they're not even going to close to coming to God. And you can shout the victory. Amen. You can have problems. You cannot have a place to lay your head and lift your hands toward heaven and say, I have the victory because God is with me. Why? Because there is victory not only in leaving the fiery furnace, that God has a victory for you right in the midst of it. If we can just stop. Oh, all the voices that speak to us. Voices of encouragement and voices of doubt. Voices, amen, that are positive and voices that are negative. But if we can stop right in the midst of the furnace, shut our eyes, raise our hands, we'll find out that He is there. I don't know what situation you're in this morning, but one thing I do know about your situation, God is there with you. God is there. How do I know that? Well, I've experienced it, amen, and know that it is the truth, amen. The times when we've seemed the lowest is the times when we've been able to raise our hands and feel that God is with us. Amen. The Bible tells us about Peter. The Bible says that he was on the water, in the sea, with the rest of the disciples in a boat. And the Word of God says that they saw in Matthew 14, says that they were out upon the storm, amen, and they saw Jesus Christ as He came walking upon the water. Amen. Wouldn't that have been wonderful to see? Amen. I don't know if you were as silly a kid as I was, but I used to try to walk on the water. Stand there on the pond dam and get back and run as fast as I could. Amen. Figure if I run fast enough, I'm going to skip like a rock across this water. I never could do it. Amen. I've always sunk like a rock. Amen. The difference is with this bubble in the middle, I can float. Amen. But my feet want to be out. My head wants to be down there. Amen. I still can't float. I certainly can't walk on water. But the Bible says that Jesus came to him walking across the water. The Bible says that they saw him far enough off that they could not decide among themselves if it was him or a spirit that they saw upon the water. The Bible says that Peter called out and said, Lord, if it's you, bid me to come out on the water. The Word of God says that that Christ said, come. He stuck his leg out over the side of the boat and started walking. You know, a lot of times we criticize Peter because he got out on the water and we all know what happened, but what about the other disciples that were in the boat that were all clinging to the sides that didn't have enough gumption to get out? Amen. Let me tell you, somebody that attempts things for God, you're going to fall flat on your face sometimes. But it's the people that attempt great things for God that see God's work done in this day that we live in. Amen. The people that sit in safety and never take any risks. Amen. Never step out. Never see anything great done for God in their lives. Never affect this world in a positive way. Amen. The Bible says that Peter slipped his leg out and started walking on the water. And we know the story that as long as he kept his eyes on Jesus, that he was walking on the water. Amen. But the Word of God tells us that he began to look around him and saw that the waves and the sea was boisterous, and he began to sink. And what I really appreciate, amen, about the Word of God is what it says in verse 31. It says, "And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" What are you talking about, Brother Allen? I'm talking about Jesus Christ that was far enough away that they could not decide if it was him or not. But when he cried out and said, "Lord, save me," he was immediately within arm's reach. Listen. If it seems like Christ is so far that you can't even ascertain if for sure he is still in your life and still in control, can I tell you to reach out your arm and say, "Christ, save me, help me"? And can I tell you, in the midst of your storm, he will be right there. The Word of God says in Isaiah chapter 43, in verse 2, it says, "When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee." The Lord never promised us a life without difficulties. He never promises a spiritual experience without battles. But one thing he did promise to you, and I want you to hear me out. He promised us, as long as we hold on to that nail-scarred hand, he promised us a life without defeat. Amen. Doesn't it mean something to me when I go in the fiery furnace and know that someday I will walk out? Amen. I know that right now it is a testimony, amen, to God's grace to talk about how Rhoda has done. But I know that one day I am going to talk about God's complete healing and work in her life and look back on it. There are situations in your life right now that appear to have no ready exit, amen. But let me tell you that one of these days you will go through the fire. But until then, there is victory for you right in the midst of your battle. There is victory for you right in the midst of your difficulty. There is victory for you right now when it seems like there is no hope. Saying of God, there's not just victory outside of the fiery furnace, but there's victory for you this morning, right in the midst of your difficulty. Amen. And you know what? When we learn to raise our hands, when in the natural it seems like we have no reason to raise them, when we thank God and according to our natural senses, there is absolutely nothing to thank God for. When we learn to thank God for His grace and His mercy. When we learn to thank God and say, "God, I know that You are with me. Amen. And as long as You are with me, I know You have a purpose in this. I know that I will grow because of this. I know that I will be more established because of this." And knowing that You have a hold of my hand is enough. Through the waters, it's okay as long as You got my hand. Through the fiery furnace, it's all right as long as You got my hand. In other words, what matters this morning is not whether you are ready to leave the fiery furnace or not. But what matters is if He has His hand in yours. And as long as He does, say, "No, God, we're all right." Whether He comes tomorrow, or whether we go out of our fiery furnace tomorrow, in fact, matters not as long as He has our hand. Amen. Let's not live in misery and defeat in the midst of our fire, but let's realize that we have the victory. You know, in Rhoda's situation, there are things that you could look at and be discouraged if you wanted to be. Rhoda had a little nausea, that's sure. That's for certain. There's times we've had to carry pills with us because she'll get sick in her stomach. Just sometimes a certain smell of something will make her sick. But that little girl eats. You should have seen her putting away Sister Brown's vittles last night. That embarrassed me. Amen. She kept going back and going back and going back. Amen. I did too. I felt miserable the whole evening. I ate too much. Amen. Kept going back and eating them. Amen. But I go to the clinic where we go every Friday. And I see kids that can't eat anything. Pencil thin children. Amen. And I say, God, she's got nausea. Yes. But we got the victory. Thank you, God. Amen. Thank you, God, that you've been good to us. Amen. I see my daughter, amen, that her hair's not grown a whole lot. Amen. It's still pretty short. But I go in the clinic and I see kids that have 3 strands of hair upon their head. And I say, Lord, thank you for what she's got. Amen. Let me tell you, hair doesn't mean much to me. I joke about my wife, amen, and tell her I'm going to go get a bear haircut and I might just shave it all off, amen. And she said, no, you won't, amen. She likes my hair, amen. And I said, what do I need hair for? I got me a wife. What do I need hair for now? Doesn't matter to me, amen. It doesn't matter. My hair will stick out or something, amen. I'll get a bad haircut. Amen. I got one right before convocation several years ago. Amen. A $2 haircut. There in Dewey, Oklahoma, man, he gives them to you. He gives you your money worth. Amen. It was the next closest thing to a burr you ever saw in your life. Amen. My wife said, oh no, we're going to convocation. You got that kind of haircut. I thought it was funny. Amen. Didn't bother me at all. Amen. But hair's important to a little girl. Amen. And I thank God for how He's helped her. In the time that she has lost it, it hasn't been for very long, and it's not usually been all of it. God's been good to us. We've had little problems, little kinks, little situations. But overall, I'm here to tell you that God has helped us and been so good to us. Amen. My daughter's been sick with leukemia now for 4 years. But a while back, I went into the clinic. And one of the nurses came back and said, Garrett's in the room with his dad, one of my daughter's little friends from up there. And they said, it doesn't look very good. I went in and there was little Garrett sitting there and his dad with him. And his dad was crying and I went over to him and hugged him, put my arms around him and tried to speak some words of encouragement that God's still in control. God's still in control. God knows what's going on. He feels your pain. God knows. Amen. Encouraging you to reach out to God, a Baptist brother, and reaching out to him. Amen. Got the call just the next day. Garrett, I'd seen him in the afternoon, and about 3 o'clock that early morning, he died. You know, sometimes we feel so sorry. Amen. We feel sorry for the shoes we have, because if they're like mine, it came from Goodwill. Amen. That's my favorite shoe store. Goodwill store. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. We feel sorry because our shoes come from Goodwill. Till we see somebody that has no shoes. Amen. We feel sorry about our ugly feet. Amen. I got ugly feet. Until we see somebody that has no feet. And let me tell you, when little Garrett died, I tell you, it made all the things we've gone through. As I watched the mother and the father and the rest of the family mourning, we went to the funeral. The doctors and nurses, all of us were in tears. And I said, God, I don't understand why all of these things happened. But God, you've been so good to us. And God, I want to thank you right in the midst of this flame, this difficulty, this fiery furnace. I want to thank you right now that you've been good to us. And God, if she is healed right now, I thank you. But if we have 5 more years to go through this thing, God, I want to continue to thank you. Because you've been good to me. What are you talking about, brother? I'm talking about victory. Situations like this can either build you up and establish you and cause you to grow and mature in God, or they could knock you out. Same circumstances. The difference is our attitude in the midst of the fire. What are you talking about, Brother Allen? I'm talking about victory in the midst of your fiery furnace. Let's stand our feet in praising this morning. Lord, we thank you this morning. Lord, that you're so good to us. Oh, Lord. We can see problems, needs, situations in our lives. But, oh, Lord, we've got to proclaim that you've been good to us. You've been faithful. Lord, just because everything has not worked out the way we want it to work out does not mean that you've not been there. Does not mean that you've not heard our prayers. Does not mean that you're not still seated on your throne. Lord, you're firmly seated on your throne. Lord, your eye is still looking out for the righteous. And Lord, you still hear and answer absolutely every prayer. Lord, you don't answer every prayer exactly the way we think you need to. And Lord, you don't answer every prayer exactly the timing that we have envisioned. But Lord, you answer every single prayer. Lord, we thank you that in the midst of our fiery furnace this morning, Lord, there's victory. Lord, we thank you for the victory that is in the midst of this fiery furnace. Oh, Lamb of God, lift your hands up and praise Him. You got a problem. You got a situation. Amen. Victory's going to come. It's going to come. But let's thank Him right now. Amen. Although we cannot see the victory, although we do not see the situation, although healing has not come, let's thank Him. Amen. We can have victory in the midst of our fiery furnace. Oh, Lamb of God. Thank you, Lord. Victory here. Victory now. Victory in my life. In spite of how the situation appears to be. Victory. Not because of who I am. Not because of how I perceive things to be. But because of who you are. And because of what you've promised, oh God. We thank you, Lord, for the victory we have this morning. This morning, amen, I would like to ask, while every head's bowed and every eye's closed, for just one brief moment, I want to ask how many of you are finding yourself in a situation right now, and you don't see an easy answer, amen, but you want to say, God, I want to grab hold of that victory that I can have in the midst of adversity, in the midst of difficulty, Lord. I want to grab hold of that victory that you have for me. Raise that hand if that's the desire of your heart. Yes, amen. How many more? Amen. I got a difficulty, got a problem, got a situation. But I want God to give me the victory and the peace. Amen. Glory to God. I want to reach out to that nail-scarred hand this morning. That's the desire of your heart. Amen. Glory to God. A lot of you have raised your hands. Those of you that raised your hands and those that didn't. Amen. If your heart is to cry out to God, amen, victory may come tomorrow. But if it doesn't, we may leave the fiery furnace tomorrow. But if it doesn't, God has victory for us right here where we are. Let's come this morning. Amen. Let's find a place to pray. And let's thank Him for a victory that we maybe have not seen. Let's thank Him for a joy that we perhaps have not felt. But we know that He is in control. Glory to God. Oh, it is possible to praise your way out of a problem. Oh, the problem may not solve overnight. But our outlook makes a world of difference. Our attitude makes a world of difference. Let's praise Him this morning. Let's thank Him. Victory's coming. Yes, it is. Oh, healing's coming. Yes, it is. Salvation's coming. Yes, it is. But until then, there is victory in the midst of this fire. There is a victory in the midst of this fiery furnace. Oh, He will calm your storm. Yes, He will. But until then, He will place your feet. Oh, on that firmness, He will hold your hand. But until the storm calms, oh, He's there. Does it feel like He forsaked you? He didn't. Reach out to Him. Does it feel like He's a million miles away? He's not. He's there this morning. He's there this morning. Oh, reach out your hand. Oh, lift up your eyes. Look around in your furnace and see that that fourth man is right there where he promised he would be. Glory to God. Reach out to him this morning. There's victory for you. Hallelujah. You don't have to leave this place with the same burden, with the same worries you came in. He's got victory for you right now. Glory to God.
I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. Through it all. Through it all. I've learned to depend upon His Word. Through it all. Through it all. I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. Through it all. Through it all. I've learned